Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day guys, it is I, Lyle Swithenbank, back with another instalment of the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. Guys, I've had a sleep, I've had some food and, you know, I'm refreshed and chirpy and today's a new day. You know, we've forgotten yesterday, the defeat, I'm not going to say, the defeat to the Suns, obviously wasn't a fantastic day, but we've recovered and we're on to the next. You know, we've got the Thunder coming up on New Year's Eve for the people in the US. Otherwise, it'll be New Year's Day for us, and the podcast might be a little bit delayed on that one once I've had a chance to wake up and recover and put it all together and watch the game. So, looking forward to that nonetheless. Guys, today, I know we had one yesterday, but we've got another podcast today because we've landed a very special guest. And this guy is all over it. So this is Elliot Clough from Pelicans Plus Podcast, a Boot Crew Media presentation. Fantastic chat. I'm going to bring him straight in. Elliot, how are you going?
Lyle, thanks so much for having me, man. You got the last name right and everything. You've clearly been listening to Pelicans Plus. I appreciate it, man.
Mate, I'm all over it, you know. I think you've only done, 9 or 10 episodes now, but yeah, as soon as it comes out, I'm all over it. Honestly, gets me through my work day. For me, it comes out, I mean, guys do it after the games or just before in the US. So for me, that's a work day. So straight on, just bashing out work, listening to Pel's content. Keep it going. It's awesome. So what's been happening? How have you been going? Looking after yourself? Staying safe?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've heard this on the pod or if I've mentioned it recently, but I actually don't live in New Orleans. Mm. I live in Madison, Wisconsin, and we just got a ton of snow. Not something you guys get a whole lot of in Australia, I'm sure. But oh my gosh, man, the roads have been crazy, and you know, America's not doing so hot with COVID, but we're surviving. We're living day by day and making ends meet with my other jobs. And you know, I always love covering the Pels, talking Pels. So life we're doing solid. We're doing the best we can.
I think that it's been a year for that. You know, it's a sort of, we're just doing the best we can. We're just ticking along and we'll regroup in the future. We'll see.
Hopefully 2021 will be a little bit nicer to us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's New Year's Eve here today. So I'll let you know once we tick over and see what the future's like. Right. And, just let you know if it's any better. But we're here to chat Pels, and I appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us, but not the best circumstances after yesterday's game. Would have been great against the Spurs or perhaps the Raptors, but we took the Suns on, and I've done my little vent podcast yesterday, but I've had a sleep on it, and you know, we're refreshed. So what did you reckon? I suppose high arching.
Yeah, you know, that was not a pretty game, to say the least. I just got done recording with Ollie Cosell, the Bird Rights editor-in-chief of the Bird Rights. Awesome pod today. But looking at the stats, we were talking about it just before we started recording. 3 of 24 from three, that's 12.5%. 9 of 18 from the free throw line, that's 50%. In the first half, bench was outscored 22-3. We said it before we started recording. Jackson Hayes, Nicola Melli, and JJ Redick were all on the floor at the same time. What the hell was that? This is supposed to be a different team, man. That the bench is just, it's not there, especially compared to such a deep team like the Phoenix Suns. And it was frustrating. It was frustrating. This team has a lot of young talent, a lot of older talent in like JJ, Eric Bledsoe, Steven Adams, and they should be better on, they're better on paper than what they have been this season. I will say they're out of sorts offensively. The defense is coming along. This last game was pretty rough, but they should be better than what they are, at least on paper. Again, we have to keep it in context too. 4 games in, this team has been together for like 3 weeks. So we can't get too crazy. We can't say the season's over, nothing like that. That we'd be getting way too ahead of ourselves. There's 68 games left, but last night was rough. And you know, Jay Crowder isn't going to shoot like that every single night. So there are a bunch of different things that go into this, but we have to remember 4 games in, and the Suns, for the first time in over a decade, are a damn good basketball team. They're damn good.
Just so deep. Like, even when in the garbage time towards the end of the game, you know, and they're rolling out, they're like, I don't know, 10th to 15th bloke. And they're still looking good. You know, you're sitting there and Javon Carter runs out and starts running the point like Chris Paul. And you're sitting there going, what is happening here? You know, yeah. We're sitting there going, who's still there? Like, who wants to come right out for a run?
Cam Johnson, 4 of 10 from 3, 18 points. Cameron Payne, who fronted Zion and then came down and hit a 3. That was sick. Like, they are going to be a real threat. They're not, you know, they're not going to be necessarily contenders for the title right away, but they're loaded. They're loaded. If there was a little more continuity, a little more time together between guys like Ayton, Devin Booker, stuff like that, a few more seasons together, they'd be an even bigger threat. But they could be a top 5 team in the West. Absolutely.
Oh, honestly, watching the team come together. I mean, we went down 22 points at one point, and Devin Booker and Chris Paul had scored hit one of two field goals. And you're sitting there going, how has this happened? Like, Devin Booker has dropped 70 points in a game. Like, he's no slouch at all. Chris Paul's sitting there just direct. He's like a conductor, just orchestrating. There's the ball. I had something like 9 assists by that time and 1 point or something. And, oh, gosh, it was... I think people underestimate how much he affects a team. I mean, look at the Thunder last year. That team was on paper, I don't know, a bunch of young guys, nothing too exciting. Maybe Gallinari was probably second best player, Steven Adams. But nothing that was sixth best in the West. And the Chris Paul effect is real, I think.
It's very real. He immediately lifts the team's – he doesn't necessarily raise the ceiling so much as he lifts the floor – so high. I mean, he's just going to win 40 plus games every year. Every Chris Paul team is going to win 40 plus games. And this team, this Suns team is real, man. And Chris Paul makes, I mean, they were real in the bubble, 8-0. That was the best we've seen them play again in probably a decade. And then you add Chris Paul to this team. You add Jay Crowder. Mikal Bridges is becoming a legitimate player in this league. Will he be a superstar? I don't think so. But he fits this team damn near perfectly. Plus 31 last night, his plus minus was. That cut on Brandon Ingram to the basket, that dunk. Oh, golly. If the Pelicans had him on their roster, I might die out of happiness. He's just so talented.
He's a freak. Honestly, he's so good. There was one where he stepped back into a three, just, yeah, drive. Oh, no, he's not going to the basket. He stepped back into a three, splashed it. And I sat there going, nah, like, When did who taught him how to do that?
Like, right? Yeah. And the thing is, too, Pelicans had Monty Williams as a head coach in the Chris Paul era. Ultimately, you know, he was basically booed out of New Orleans, and he's a good coach. He's a really good coach. And he's been picked by a lot of media members, journalists to be coach of the year this season. And considering the jump that the Suns are going to make, would not be surprised at all if he got it.
Yeah, not at all. You know, I saw some clips of them in the bubble and maybe it was when Javon Carter actually re-signed. And, you know, that's the guy that's right down the end of your bench. And the coach comes over and gives him a big hug and, you're one of our guys. I don't know if there's every coach in the league is like that in terms of this mutual respect with their players. You know, people respect you as a coach, but probably not as a bloke as well. You know, where he comes up and goes, look, you're such a good guy. We love having you here. We know what you bring. And I think as a player, when you've got a coach that is so ingrained with it and you see all these bubble highlights and the like where he's pumping them all up, they didn't expect us to be here. Look how good we did. You know, Monty Williams, I think, he's legit. He's all right.
He's not necessarily, he's a player's coach, but he's not too, because he's willing to hold guys accountable as well. It's not a pushover like Alvin Gentry, if we're being honest. And the thing, I just look at his demeanor on the sideline and look at the way he talks to his players. I was watching last night and I said, if I was in the NBA, which is a stretch because I'm 5'8 and white, I would like to play for that guy.
Yeah.
I would like to play for that guy. Yeah. He is a damn good coach, and I think the Pels missed out.
Yeah, well, I mean, you and I can sign some two-way contracts. We'll sit down the end. You know, we can travel the team. Minimum contract, happy for it. You know, like, that'd be a look, whatever.
Yeah, you can pay me millions of dollars to lose by 40. I'm in. Yeah, I can do that for you.
I'll sit on the end of the bench. I'll sit courtside watching all the other guys lose by 40. Yeah. I have no issues with that. No issues
exactly,
at all.
Exactly, yes.
But, yeah, no, I mean, we've hyped the Suns, but I suppose on the flip side, the Bells, you know, the ESPN broadcast, I don't know if it did it in the US, but in Australia, it actually just changed games. They just cut away and we started watching the Kings and Denver. And, you know, it's pretty tough going when the broadcaster's like, oh, we're a bit sick of this. And Kevin Harlan's like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Right. Yeah, they did the same thing here in the U.S. too. And I was a little upset. I'm like, now we get to watch Kyra and Willie Hernan Gomez. You're going to take it away from us. Mm. So, you know, they're definitely appealing to a national audience here with TNT covering it. But I was happy with what we saw from Kyra last night. He was aggressive. There's been talk of Eric Bledsoe being traded and stuff like that already. We're four games in and they're talking about trading Eric Bledsoe, and fair enough. I mean, that was talked about initially, even when the Jrue Holiday trade happened, but I really liked Kyra coming out of this year's draft. It was him. Once 13 came around, him, Aaron Nesmith. And there might've been another guy that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, but I was thinking those two, if I remember correctly. Obviously, early on, we were thinking Patrick Williams, that type of player. But then he went number four, which shocked the living hell out of me. But I like Kyra. He has been likened to De'Aaron Fox. I did that myself. And he's a guy who appears to me that will remain composed no matter what, no matter the mistake, no matter what's going on. He's taken a lot from Bled and Lonzo already. And I would not be upset to see him get more minutes. Not necessarily the same amount of minutes that Eric Bledsoe gets by any means, but the Pels are deep enough at guard where that could work at some point. I think Kyra's got a lot of development to do, and he's not quite there defensively, but I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too. And it was good to get a bit of a snapshot of him playing, because you got to see some substantial minutes where he wasn't just coming in real garbage time. I guess it was, but it was just a bit longer, extended garbage time. One thing that struck me was his patience. You know, he didn't seem to rush. And for a rookie, you know, sometimes you're a bit jittery and, oh, yeah, we're not handling the ball. But he just went into point guard mode. You know, there was that anticipation steal that he got. Sort of guy that, if you've got that patience already, and we know he can go fast, but it's when you can go slow and keep your head is where I think you set yourself apart. If you've got that elite speed, but also that ability to say, all right, at the moment, I don't need to get out and sprint. I'm just going to take the ball and we're going to push up. We're going to do a half court set and we're going to run that. So I didn't realize how long he was. Like, he's got quite long arms and quite, like, he's very rangy, I guess, in his build. And I wasn't aware of that. I don't follow the college basketball very closely at all. Mad NBA, but yeah, Pelican. Sorry, the college here, it's a bit difficult, but I was impressed. Sure. You know, 7 or 8 minutes. Yeah.
And the other comp too has been Colin Sexton, who the issue for both of them really was the jump shot coming into the NBA. And Colin Sexton is playing kind of out of his mind this season already. Yeah. I think he's averaging like 27 points a game or something
like
that.
Yeah,
he's
gone off. Yeah.
And the jump shot has gotten a lot better. And I don't think Kyra's jump shot is bad at all.
No.
I mean, you look at the mechanics and it's fluid, it's concise. And I think he can develop it really well. And you mentioned the patience. That was something I really noticed last night too. He was not jittery. He was not all over the place. And that's something that Eric Bledsoe has pointed out too in press conferences, media sessions that he's been asked about. So he said he just needs to learn to slow it down. And in his first game, he's apparently a quick learner because he showed that patience. He was fun to watch. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us are that watch sports want to know what the next thing is, even when the current thing is good. But, well, maybe not great last night, but I think we're very much in tune with – that's why people love the draft, right? That's why people love the NBA draft, the NFL draft, all that. That's why there's 3 days of the NFL draft, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of why we're so enamored with Kyra, but I really do think that he'll be something solid in this league. He is a NBA point guard for sure.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, small sample size, but – you know, if that's your first game, well, you're doing all right. You know, I think you did quite well. So another guy we saw a little glimpse of was Willie Hernan Gomez. And, you know, he's been around the league a little while, hasn't played. He's always been sort of like spot minutes, maybe like just outside the rotation, just in. But I thought it was a good signing when we grabbed him. You know, he's a big unit. Could he perhaps steal a few minutes off Jackson and Melly? Like, surely bit closer to Steven Adams.
you'd think that, right? I'm surprised we haven't seen him in basically an actual game yet, honestly, because Jackson Hayes has been atrocious.
Mm.
He has been absolutely awful.
Oh, don't sugarcoat it.
Sorry. But it's just there has to – a balance has to be struck between he needs time to develop – and he will ultimately be the reason the Pelicans lose games, because we've had how many games so far? 4 games, and 3 of them were close, at least at one point. And I mean, this one was through the first quarter, but not for 3 quarters. So it wasn't really ever that close. And with a young team that's learning to win, understand Van Gundy, learning to win with guys like JJ Redick, Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, they're going to be in close games. And Jackson Hayes is going to be the reason they get exposed in the middle of the second and third quarter. And there's a 4 or 5 point swing that could ultimately lose the game, if not more. His net rating has been god awful. It's like so bad. One of the worst net ratings in the league. And he doesn't understand pick and roll coverage, doesn't have awareness. And the one thing he's really good at is attacking the rim. And with how congested this offense is right now, the lack of spacing, he can't provide the one thing he's good at, right?
Mm.
So why is he out on the floor? Why is he out on the floor for 17 minutes?
Yeah.
At least Willie Hernan Gomez has some defensive IQ, right?
Mm.
And I was a little perplexed by the signing at the same time, because Dwayne Dedmon, I think, was available at that point in time.
Still is.
And he's still, exactly, still available. You can get him on a one-year vet minimum.
Yeah.
1 year, $2.2 million. And that would put the Pels over the luxury tax. They're like $500,000 away from the luxury tax. Not worth it right now. But if you can do some financial finagling, maybe release some, cut one of those guys at the end of the bench and get a guy like a Dwayne Dedmon, I think that would change things enough. He's a good enough rim protector. And a few years ago, I'd have to look it up. I have Basketball Reference here, but I believe he shot 38% from three just a few years ago.
He can splash threes as well.
Yeah.
He's a big body.
With the Hawks.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just a big body that can protect the rim. And, yes, 38% in 2018-2019 with the Hawks, played 64 games that year. So, unless the rest of the league – I mean, he hasn't been signed by anybody. Mm. Like, he provides value in this league. Yeah. I don't know if the league is seeing something that we're not or what, but Jackson Hayes isn't the answer right now. Mm. He's just not. Do I think he needs time to develop? Absolutely. Can he do that in practice? Absolutely, especially with Stan Van Gundy and this coaching staff. These guys have been in the league for a long time, and Stan Van Gundy is known as a teacher. That's what he is, and he can teach. He can teach Jackson Hayes in practice, and he can get minimal minutes, especially against teams that aren't, you know, as good. He could get a lot of minutes tomorrow night against the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow night in America, and I wouldn't be upset by that as much, because OKC, while an energetic team, isn't that good. Like, they've got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort. Like that's it. So I would not be upset if Jackson Hayes got a lot of minutes there, i.e. like 17 to 20, maybe. But this way of playing him for so many minutes, it's, I said it and I'm going to reiterate it because it's the point, is it's going to lose the Pelicans games.
Mm. No, I completely agree with you. You know, that even in the Spurs game when we were up, 22, and then that just evaporated because the bench came on. And it's happened in every single game. The bench comes on, and I've been screaming down the microphone and on Twitter about Steven Adams. Can he play 48 minutes? But you just can't be in a position where it's such a liability when your starters go off. You cannot be in a situation like that, because you will lose basketball games. And, you know, Jackson Hayes, I think, is a perfect G League candidate, where if the league had been in its normal situation, could be down there just burning 30 minutes a night down there getting reps in. But we're just not in that situation now. I completely agree. I think he needs to – he's so raw. You can see on his defensive or when they're down setting the defense, the gears are turning, and he's sitting there going, what has Stan told me to do here? And you can see guys like pushing him out the way, going, you've got to go there. You've got to push back, run there. And he's sitting there going, he's like a deer in the headlights, you know, and – he's got that base athleticism. I can see where the upside is, but the fundamentals are just not there.
He's got a crazy upside. That's the way I've referred to him over the last year, basically. Yeah. We know he has a high ceiling. He just relies on his athleticism 100% of the time. And while he isn't an unreal athlete, that doesn't work in the NBA. Mm. It might have worked at Texas. He's only been playing basketball for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
But – and that's a big reason why he doesn't have the fundamentals. If there's a coach that can get that in his head, it's going to be Stan Van Gundy. But if Stan Van Gundy can't do it, I know you're the 8th pick overall, but see you later, man. It's just, it won't happen if Stan Van Gundy can't do it, at least in my mind's eye.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And it's a shame, because, you know, you can see him and he's trying, and he goes out there, but you're alive. But at the end of the day, this is a job before it's just playing basketball, you know, and these guys need to go out and win games. That's where they get their money from. So I think there's going to come a point where Stan goes, I can't trust you, and you can't be out there. You know, we saw it with Melly in that the San Antonio game. He just didn't come out. He had a terrible first couple of games, and they just didn't play him. They were like, all right, we'll be better. And, you know, he came out and, you know, he was ish better. But, you know, I'll say
– he hit a three. He actually hit a jump shot.
Yeah, well –
you know, so play in 48 minutes. Why not? Yeah.
Do it. Lock him in. Yeah, exactly. Right. Playing only center. you know, yeah. It's tough. So they've got to work that out. Just overall, just a bit of a dog's breakfast that game. You know, we just watched the lead get bigger, and you go, we could go on a run. And I think even at halftime, we're a bit optimistic, like, all right, well, we've gone down, but we could probably claw it back, you know, bite-sized chunks. Then I got to like 30 points and then 40 points, and you're sitting there going, this is not great. At all.
I had my hopes up a bit. I mean, like, it wasn't the end of the world, and it's still not the end of the world. Yeah. I mean, they're going to bounce back. I don't know if you were able to watch the clips from the media session today, but Stan Van Gundy basically said, We're going to watch film. We're going to learn what we need to do differently. We're going to move on. That's basically what he said. We're going to get better, and we're not going to hold on to this loss. But I don't remember what my train of thought was.
But I mean, the thing is that you need to have these losses to then, I suppose, appreciate the victories more. You can't forget them either. You need to have them there and you say, last time, so next time we come up against the Suns, it really has to be an absolute onslaught. You need to come out and say, we're gonna drop 30, we've got a 30-point win on these guys. They laughed at us last time. They ran us out the court. The mentality, whether or not you do it, has to be, we are going to belt the absolute living daylights out these guys.
It's the same thing as what the Bucks just did to the Heat.
Yeah.
Granted, they hit an NBA record three, the amount of threes, but it should be that mentality. What I was going to say was, by the way, I got my train of thought back, was that I had a little bit of hope going into that third quarter for the Suns, or sorry, for the Pelicans against the Suns, because they did make a comeback against the Heat in that third quarter, got it down to six, and then it got away from them. But the Suns just have too much depth. That's what it comes down to. And the Pels just can't match it. Pels just couldn't match it.
Well, they were just putting a whole new five every time. It was just like, oh, everyone come off, everyone come on. And it didn't even change. All right, we're going to mix and match a bit. You know, Devin Booker was in foul trouble. He came off. And then you're sitting there going, well, aren't you guys meant to be bad now? Like, Booker's not on. Like, what is this? But, they're a great side. I'm excited to watch a bit more of them. I hadn't seen any games of them this year, only in the bubble where we're across everything. Awesome side. I'm excited to see them, but not against the Pels. They can go away. They can go in the bin.
yeah, definitely. And DeAndre Ayton's nothing to look past either. I mean, he is kind of regarded as the guy who was picked above Trae Young and Luka Doncic now, but he's a good player. And he should have been more dominant last night, especially when Steven Adams was out. But he's a good player too. They're really just good from top to bottom.
Yeah, and I think they actively sort of staggered his minutes so he didn't play against Steven Adams as much. You know, there wasn't that. There was some times where they put Saric in on him and try to drag Adams out to the 3-point line, and you can see that. But Ayton, I was surprised he didn't drop. I don't even know what he got in the end, but it wasn't 20 and 12. I don't think.
He's a walking
double-double.
That bloke. He is definitely.
So it'll be interesting to see those guys pull it all together and keep going. I mean, I know Kevin Harlan said in the broadcast at one point, he said the first three or four games for the Suns had been a bit clunky, but they sort of discovered it a bit against us. I suppose it helps when you don't have a defense set. But or an offense to counteract it.
Right. But, no kidding.
Jumping forward, we've got I suppose it's New Year's Eve they're playing, I guess, against the Thunder. It's out in Oklahoma. We're still away from home. What are you looking for a bit of a bounce back? What do you think we need to do to really, I suppose, lick our wounds and improve?
So, again, I think the sentiment from Stan Van Gundy today was damn near perfect. You know, watch the film, burn the tape. We know what we learned. We know what to do differently now. Go forward. Two big things in this one. Pels played a good first quarter. After that, the energy went completely flat and they were done. Energy's got to be high. Two, ball movement. Stan Van Gundy said it in prior to the game and before the Pels got absolutely blown out, because the Pels are only shooting 33% from the 3-point line this year. Last year, they shot the most threes in the NBA. And they had a better 3-point percentage than that, if I remember correctly, probably like 35. Mm. But the ball movement has to be better. Offensively, just has to be more consistent. The ball can't stay in Brandon Ingram's hands all the time. He's not going to be able to be the Pelican savior on every possession.
Yeah, I agree.
Zion Williamson has to be a little, I mean, he only had two boards in this game against the Suns. He's a big part of their energy. You know, we talk about energy guys off the bench. Zion Williamson has to be that energy guy in the starting five, because other than that, they're really, I mean, you're just getting a lot of consistency, which is amazing, but But Zion Williamson can be that energy guy. He throws down a thunderous dunk and everything changes, right? So I think those are going to be the two big things for me is energy and ball movement. And with energy comes engagement, because Pelicans, like I said, again, before we started talking, was they looked like they played in the bubble last night. Mm. And that's just not, I mean, it's obviously not going to cut it. What did they win, like two games in the bubble? And if you're going to play like that in the regular season, expect to lose a lot of games. I don't think Stan Van Gundy is going to let anything like that just permeate this team. I really don't. And I would like to see Willie Hernan Gomez play in some actual minutes that matter. I really want to see that, especially given that the Thunder aren't the best team in the league. They're bottom three in the West. They're not very good. So I think this is the time to try things like that. They are 1-2, but their best player is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I love, but their second best player is, again, Lou Dort. So this is not a really good basketball team. They're well coached. They have some good players, but this is not a team that should beat the Pelicans in the NBA. And now is the time to try Hernan Gomez in a rotation rather than Jackson Hayes. So that's what I would like to see. Whether it's going to happen or not, I am not too positive.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the early rotation, it seems to just be a continuation a bit of last year in that they're playing the same guys. It's almost like a tribute to David, maybe the David Griffin guys, maybe the Trajan Langdon guys, and they say these guys have to play such and such. Who knows? I don't know the internal politics of the joint, but if we've got a guy like that who might show something, well, let's give it a go. What's the worst that happens? Okay, he plays 5 minutes. He's terrible. Go and sit on a bench and we'll bring someone else in.
Right. It's early. It's the fifth game of the season.
Yeah.
And again, it's against the Thunder, who are not good. This is not last year's Thunder. They don't have Steven Adams. They don't have Danilo Gallinari. They don't have Chris Paul. Mm. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is awesome, but that is it.
Yeah, like, it's a full rebuild. It's a completely rebuilding team. We need to come out and spank him. Like, honestly, just need to come out and absolutely smash him and say, look, yesterday was just a bump in the road. Today, this is the Pelicans you can expect. Is we just not good? We won't bow down. Oh, how'd you go? Get that in. There you go.
Right. This can be a defining moment early on.
Yeah.
This can be a defining moment. And it's, again, fifth game. Change the narrative. Right now, change it, because they have the power to do that. Stan Van Gundy has the knowledge, has the basketball reputation to take this team and flip it on its head right now in the fifth game. The guys are going to have to buy in.
Yeah.
And I think Stan Van Gundy has already built that foundation with Brandon and Zion, and prove it. Now it's time to prove it.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I'd love to see is them just not run the shot clock down and then just give it to Brandon Ingram with like half a second left. Like, if you want an isolation play, just because your play is broken, give it to him with 10 seconds so at least he can do something. Oh, I hate that.
I mean, I love the high pick and roll with Steven Adams. Yeah. I love the other night when they were playing the Spurs and Brandon was on the sort of between the wing and the baseline and he had Lonzo clear out. He didn't. Yeah. I was just like, yes, yeah. Brandon. And then he hit that pick and pop with Steven Adams, or not pick and pop, but the pick and roll, and he hit that jump shot.
Yeah.
And I love that, but if your best spacing is out to the mid-range in this NBA, that's not good enough. Teams, I mean, the Suns figured it out. They took him out of what they wanted to do. And if that's going to be your only thing to rely on now, you got to build more in your repertoire as a team. Brandon Ingram has plenty of skills. Zion Williamson is more than just a bully basketball player, but you're going to have to institute that team-wide, I should say. And because the high pick and roll is great. Brandon Ingram's going to hit that shot, but the Suns figured it out. That means everybody else can figure it out now too, because it's a copycat league, right?
Yeah, for sure. It'll work once, it'll work 50 times. I mean, you have a look at that. The stretch fives, just about every team has one. And as soon as Steven Adams was dragged up to the three-point line, or even not just hovering around the paint, they were just driving at ease. And I think Jay Crowder splashed three of his threes because of that, because he was dragged up. Chris Paul drove and a driving kick. And all of a sudden you're sitting there going, we're scrambling and our defensive anchor isn't there. And that's not Steven Adams' fault. He can't leave Saric there, but there has to be some sort of adjustment in that. All right, Steven Adams is now 2 feet out from 3-point line. Fill that hole. If you have to sag off, then sag off. But there are all these adjustments, and hopefully they'll look at all of that, because while I love the Steven Adams trade, and I know there's all this people saying we don't need spacing, we do need spacing. You need some sort of spacing, and whether or not that's all the time, and I think the starting five is beautiful, but at different times you need to have the ability to spread the floor. And currently that's just not, it's not there. You know, you're replacing a like for like inside center with Jackson. Yep. Even if Jackson Hayes was serviceable, he doesn't shoot threes. And Melly is that sort of guy, but he doesn't hit him either. So
yes, no, yeah, he's been horrible. And I mentioned this, I think, a few days ago on the podcast, is that there was a play against the Spurs where Jackson Hayes had the ball under the free throw line and Jakob Poeltl was literally under the basket and Jackson Hayes did not look to shoot it. Mm. He looked to pass the ball elsewhere. He had 3 or 4 feet of space around him and he was afraid to shoot the basketball. Yeah. What the hell?
Mm.
Like, you are a professional basketball player, 6'10", almost 7 feet tall, and you can't just, you know, give a little floater there for us.
Well, with like, freakish athleticism, go through him.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where you sit and you're watching TV and you're like, ah, you can't even say words because it just won't come out of you because it's so, what you're watching is so insane. And that is the epitome of the lack of spacing that the Pelicans have right now. And that's why the Pels really should look at starting it on Twitter. And I think JJ, while he is in a cold streak, he's only shooting 29%. He has the rapport in the league, the established name in the league of being one of the top 10 3-point shooters of all time.
Mm.
And so other teams are going to sag. Other teams are going to watch him on the 3-point line, and he will provide at least a little more spacing to open things up for the Pelicans. And that way you get more energy off your bench and a guy like Eric Bledsoe. Whether Bledsoe would buy into that or not is one thing, but I think Redick would be awesome at that 2-guard role starting. He started before. I mean, he had just a few years ago, one of the best seasons of his career with Philadelphia, and he's still in great shape. He's the best shooter off of like just the catch and screen and his ability to lean and get a shot up. I don't know that I've seen anybody else do that. And I think he would provide that for the starting lineup.
Yeah, completely agree. You know, his ability to draw that defender, as you say, but in a starting lineup, he's not getting the best defender. As soon as he goes on the bench, you're going, we got to shut him down. And he's shooting bad because the bloke that usually would be guarding someone like Zion or Lonzo or B.I. is sitting there going on him. And, you know, he's got to have to beat the best defender. Whereas at Philly, you got Embiid, you've got Simmons. They're the first two that you're trying to lock down. Third best defender goes to him, perhaps. Otherwise, you're looking at other guys that were there at the time as well. And I don't even remember who was there. They had a really good, team was stacked. But, know, he thrived because he could beat these mediocre defenders.
Right. And the thing is, too, when he's with that second unit, you can't hide him defensively.
Yeah.
With the starting unit, you can because of Brandon Ingram's length, because Steven Adams is at the basket, because Lonzo is such a phenomenal defender getting in passing lanes. Mm. He's much easier to hide defensively because, I mean, last night with the second unit, the Suns were just going at him and trying to expose him, and for good reason. He's small. He's older. He's not the greatest defender in the world, and the Suns knew how to expose that last night.
Yeah, that whole start of that second five was just – that was atrocious, honestly. That was no good.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your projection then from here? So rest of the season, we're going to do long-range forecast. We can see the clouds rolling in, or perhaps not. Maybe it's sunlight. What is your forecast for the season?
You know, now would probably... That is a really, really good question, Lyle, I tell you. They're 2-2. You know, after that third game against the Spurs, I think everybody in Pelicans Twitter would have been like, they're going to the finals. Like, but no, I think as currently constructed, they're probably a play-in team, probably that 7, 8, 9, 10 sort of range. They have the capability, should they get some more spacing, should they get a 4 or a 5 that can actually protect the basket with the second unit, then they start to creep up into the 7, more of the 7, 8 sort of range. But right now they're probably 8, 9, 10. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, the Pelicans haven't been in the playoffs since that year that they swept the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, coming off this last year, getting in the playoffs would be pretty good. That, and two, the Western Conference is freaking loaded. It is freaking loaded. And it's a little bit less loaded considering how bad the Warriors are now. But, I mean, for God's sake, we've just been talking about how damn good the Suns are. Like, yeah. Like the Spurs are always there. The Grizzlies will get Ja Morant back eventually, even though the Pels have had their number. They're a good basketball team. I mean, the Rockets still have James Harden. They could get a haul in exchange for him. And I'm just talking fringe teams. Like, we're not even talking the Lakers, the Trailblazers, the Clippers, the Mavs, the Nuggets. Like,
even the
these
Kings.
Are all teams. Yeah, I mean, the Kings, yeah.
They just beat Denver. Jokic triple-double.
Tyrese Halliburton's legit, man. And, I love De'Aaron Fox. I just got done saying how much I like Kyra Lewis. I love De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, loved him coming out of the draft. But the West is loaded, and I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for them to get a play-in game. Play-in games that they could win because, you know, any given night, the old mantra, any given night, the Pels can steal one. And they are a good basketball team, but they've got stuff to figure out.
Yeah, completely agree. I think the playing team and everyone I've spoken to actually has been like, yeah, that's probably where we are. You know, we could sneak in perhaps if we figure it out, but otherwise the West is just – all the teams we're meant to be better than have all been like, yeah, we're getting better as well. And you're like, oh, no, I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
It's crazy, but we'll see how we go. Elliot, thank you very much for your time. It's been awesome having a chat to you, and appreciate you jumping on. Where can we find you? Can you give your show a shout out and yourself on Twitter? That'd be fantastic.
For sure, Lyle. So I'm Elliot Clough, 1 L and 1 T in Elliot, and Clough is C-L-O-U-G-H. It's like rough and tough. That'll help you out. And then the show is Pelicans Plus. That's Pelicans, like New Orleans Pelicans, and then plus, like a plus sign. And that'll be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere. So you can find that there. And then I write for Boot Crew Media as well, and that's just bootcrewmedia.com. And you can find everything that I just mentioned on my Twitter. Again, it's at Elliot Clough, ElliotClough.
Guys, hit it up. This guy is legit. Like, I mean, honestly, I love what you're putting out. All over it. Love your podcast. Yeah, you're killing it, mate, and I appreciate you jumping on and sharing some insights with us. It's been fantastic. Looking forward to listening to the Ollie podcast that you'll be putting out. What, is it out yet or is it soon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's out now, so yep, I'll be jumping over that. Yeah, this afternoon, it'll be good.
For sure.
Looking forward to that.
For sure. Anytime, Lyle. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
How good was that? Thanks again to Elliot for joining us at Elliot Clough on Twitter, ElliotClough. Clough is in rough, he said. Make sure you go and give him a follow. Pelicans Plus is his podcast. Boot Crew Media is where you can get all of his writings as well. Guys, as always, make sure you go and check out hoop-ball.com for everything going on over there. Get a fantasy pass. Look after yourselves. I'm at Lyle Swithenbank. This is the Pelican Scoop at HoopBallPels on Twitter. Happy New Year. I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.